good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Twin City news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Well, hey, let me get the screen here because it doesn't have us on here. Let me just click that off. Okay, here we are. We're on Facebook Live, and we're all over Turtle Island. I want to just give a shout-out to our new people and that are listening to us in Milwaukee and also, of course, Madison and the Twin Cities and Chicago and all over Turtle Island on the internet and Facebook.
Yeah, it's so much fun to see everybody on Facebook saying hello from where they're listening from. We had a couple yesterday, one from Florida, somebody from Texas.
We always have Crash from New York, and that's
right.
Where you're from.
That's right.
Ahoo.
Hey, Crash.
And then, so we do the news here that you normally don't hear anywhere else all over the country, and we love shooting it out to our relatives and to our white allies and everybody that really supports us. So it's really cool that we're able to do this. Without any further ado, let's go to Ogama with the news. Who Ogama?
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And as always, I like to start with a little bit of news on what's happening with Stop Line 3 here in Minnesota. I just want to remind people that here in Minnesota, there were hundreds of water protectors who were arrested and are currently facing criminal charges in Minnesota for standing in defense of water, climate, and treaty rights of the, the Anishinaabeg people here in Minnesota. If you have not yet, I would love it if you would all take the time to go over to dropline3charges.com. and sign the petition. The petition sends a letter automatically to the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison and to Governor Walz to tell them to drop the charges for water protectors. Water protectors put their bodies on the line to stop Enbridge, and police forces, which were directly funded by Enbridge, have responded to this movement in the same type of way that they responded to the No DAPL movement, with surveillance and harassment. They even used physical torture and pain compliance, and now they've trumped up the charges, including felonies, for these water protectors. And meanwhile, the state of Minnesota has chosen to only charge Enbridge Energy with a misdemeanor and a small fine, small in their sense as far as the amount of money that they make. I believe it's a little over $3 million they paid in a fine for an aquifer that is still leaking almost a year later. I believe the one-year anniversary of the Clearwater aquifer breach by Enbridge Energy was January 21st of 2021, and we're coming up on January 21st of 2022. So again, drop the charges. dropline3charges.com/sign the petition, or just go to dropline3charges.com and it'll pull you up to where you want to go to get that going. So far, 78,000 letters have been sent, and they're going for a goal of 100,000. So add your name to that list if you have not yet. That's really, really important. We want to talk about that today. A little bit of things coming up here in the Stop Line 5 or Shut Down Line 5 process. There's two events coming up from Shutdown Line 5, Protect the Water. One is about the impacts of Enbridge's Line 5 and how it will impact the lands and waters around you in northern Wisconsin. As we've got new listeners in the Wisconsin area, go to Shutdown Line 5, Protect the Water on Facebook to register for the Zoom link for that one. I believe they are all on Zoom. And then coming up, Stop Line 5 and learning the basics on how to testify against the Wisconsin DNR, or how to testify in opposition at the virtual virtual Wisconsin DNR hearing coming up at the end of the month. That one is January 27th. And they're both at 7 p.m. and they're both virtual. So easy ways that you can get involved to help stop Line 5 in Wisconsin. Over here in Minnesota, I do want to let people know that coming up on January 18th, which is next Tuesday, is the virtual fundraiser for the Native American Legislative Caucus, and that's going to be with Representative Jamie Becker Finn, Heather Keeler, and Senator Mary Kunish. It's going to be January 18th, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. You can RSVP to Katie at dflhouse.com, and she will send you the Zoom link. Again, it's a virtual fundraiser for Jamie Becker Finn, Heather Keeler, and Mary Kunish as we come into another election season here in Minnesota. They are very important to us here, and that's definitely something that we want to uplift for them. In central Minnesota, Central Lakes College opened a new multicultural center this week, and they put up this fabulous mural. And I'm sorry, everybody, I didn't get any pictures of it, but the mural is... Oh, go ahead, Wendy.
No, I'm good. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I thought I saw you come in with that. The mural has Winona LaDuke and Chief Hole in the Day, who are big prominent figures here in Minnesota and nationwide, as well as Martin Luther King Jr., John Lewis, Angela Davis, and others featured on this mural at their new multicultural center. Megan Rapinoe and... It's just beautiful the way that they did this and to include so many different cultures on their mural. It's really inclusive and really beautiful to see, and I'm proud of the local community there for putting up such a mural. And then if you watch the Today Show, you may have seen the Eye Collective being featured on the Today Show, which is really exciting as well. So the Eye Collective is a group of cooks, chefs, sea keepers, educators, activists, and advocates who are making it their mission to empower Indigenous communities through food. So they got a big feature on the Today Show, and that was really, really exciting to see everybody on that national platform and talking about why these things are so important. And relearning the histories that have been overrun by colonialism and white supremacy in the current situation that we have here in the United States was the Minneapolis American Indian Center was featured. Chef Brian Yazzie was featured, as well as other creators and Indigenous food specialists throughout the country. So it's just really beautiful if you get a chance to check it out on the Today Show. The Eye Collective was really awesome. And then some kind of late breaking news here, and condolences to the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. The Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, it appears there may be a community member, a young community member, who was killed in a vehicle accident last night near Twilight Road, Mille Lacs County. A six-year-old girl was struck by a vehicle and killed last night. There's no information on the name of the girl yet, but sources indicate that she may have been a member of the Mille Lacs community. There's no additional information other than that she was on the road in the path of an oncoming SUV and was killed in that accident. So our deepest condolences go out to the Mille Lacs community and the family of the little girl from Onamia who was involved in that accident last night. So it's terrible when these things happen in our communities, and I wanted to make sure that on this Friday that our relatives up north know that our prayers are with them.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick update, too. I was at Clyde Belcourt's wake last night, and they'll be up. Funeral services are Saturday up in White Earth, and we'll give you more information on that.
Tomorrow.
We'll give you a little more information in the show. We're going to have State Senator from Minnesota, Mary Kunish, on, and we are really still saddened and heartbroken about this great leader, Clyde Belcourt, passing. We put tobacco down for his soul and all the work. And we need to, as Native Americans, step up, because a great leader is gone. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Awesome. Hey, it's Friday, and it's State Senator Mary Kunish time, and we are always so pleased to see her and have her on our show and the great work that she does, and we can talk about a lot of different things. Welcome, Mary. Sad time in the community here. We have a great leader passing, Clyde Belcourt, and I guess it's time for all of us to step it up too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really hard because here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, we are losing some of our most important leaders, are, you know, the ones that have really paved the way towards the good changes that have been happening here in the urban city of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And while, you know, our heart is really heavy for their loss, we always seem to take for granted that they'll be around forever, right? That Clyde was going to be there. He was going to continue to be an inspiration, that his leadership was going to take us down that track of where we needed to go. And now, you know, he's moved on to the next world, and we have to pick up the slack. It's up to us now.
Yeah. And I know you've been involved, and you were emceeing the last big protest we had, for Change the Name, and at the stadium, at the Viking Stadium, and he was there speaking, and you were emceeing, and it's going to be hard because we're almost going to have to have a really big empty chair for him when we have things like this, Mary.
Absolutely, there will be empty spaces everywhere that he used to fill, and I say that figuratively and literally, because, you know, we just look to him for that guidance and those words of wisdom. And, you know, the life experiences that he had, that you look back and you're like, that's incredible. You think of what happened, you know, here in the Twin Cities, in the formation of AIM, and his nationwide advocacy for Native American rights and fighting against racism against our Native folks, as well as, you know, a role model or just a visionary for cultural education. He and his pals started, you know, culturally centered, Native culturally centered schools here in the Twin Cities that mm-hmm. are, you know, the protocol for so many schools across the nation. And so I think we haven't even begun to realize how much he will be missed and how much he contributed to the progress of our Native communities.
Yeah, I know. There was somebody that gave a nice introduction to Clyde, but one thing they kind of missed the boat on was not only was he a big advocate here in Minnesota, but it was worldwide, because he had been spoke, especially his big thing after Wounded Knee was not only the schools that he opened and all the clinics, a Native American community clinic and all these things on the Franklin Corridor in Minneapolis, but he also spoke many times at the, what is that place in New York, Wendy? the World
United Nations.
Thank you, God. Oh my God, I got
the World Nation. Yeah, we're playing word games.
Sorry.
Yeah,
but yeah. So that was his big deal too.
Yep, he was a formidable guy. I think he spoke to most national leaders around human rights and atrocities. And, you know, he always did it in such, in such a humble way. You could just feel, you know, this was not to gain national attention or to be political, but he really spoke from the heart. And he brought the stories of the community to the world. And again, we are just so indebted to him.
He was a tall, tall, big guy, too. And so his name, The Thunder Before the Storm, I've seen him speak. And there was a lot of thunder coming out of there and a lot of conviction and a lot of emotion. You know, he, being on our show many times, I know he got emotional talking about a lot of things. And especially, I remember one time we were doing a symposium, and I don't know if you remember this, Mary, but the state senator from South Dakota, Red Dawn, was mm-hmm. on, and mm-hmm. he talked about her family specifically and also said that she was part of the prayers and the dreams that we had many years ago that came to fruition. And I remember that being really emotional for her and for us too. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And I had sort of a similar experience with Clyde. It was at George Floyd's funeral.
Oh.
You know, his actual funeral here in Minneapolis. I, as a elected official and part of the Posse Caucus, People of Color Indigenous at the state legislature, we were invited to attend that. And Clyde was there, and I went over to speak to him at the end. He was a little wobbly on his legs, so he waited till mm-hmm. everybody left, which was great because I could sit down next to him. And I just, you know, I went up to him and I said, Clyde, I don't know if you remember me. He said, of course I remember you. I know who you are. And I mean, just like, boing, my body just went like, oh my God, Clyde Belcourt mm-hmm. remembers who, you know, knows who I am. And we sat down and we talked about the tragedy that had happened with George Floyd. But then he went on to kind of discuss parallels, you know, within our Native communities and the racism and oftentimes unfair police practices against Native folks. We can tell stories here in Minneapolis and Minnesota mm-hmm. about horrendous things done to Native men and women and children. Mm-hmm. But he just sat there and he just talked and reminisced. And then at the end, he just patted my hand and said, "You just keep up the good work. We need women like you. We need Native folks like you in those places to make the difference and tell the stories." And so, you know, I just, you know, sometimes we'll think back on that and realize what an honor. What a privilege to know this man, but also he has now passed on that responsibility to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's watching from somewhere saying, you better do what I told you to do. So right. Yeah, he was a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, he really was. And when he was still pretty active, I know in the beginning of COVID, he'd call me all the time just to check in, because I know he was going crazy that he couldn't get out in the streets and see people and talk to people and be in his in our community. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember this, but I got a chance to, he asked me to go to Wounded Knee with him 2 years ago.
Yep.
Or it was 3 years ago now. And that was a lifetime. I want to go back again, but that was also an unbelievable life experience for me, because I've always wanted to. So there's all these little stories coming out, and that was really great to hear that story that you just shared with us with the George Floyd murderer's funeral.
Yeah, yesterday when Robert Lilligren was on, we were kind of reminiscing, and Robert, I remembered in the beginning of COVID, it was his birthday, I think on May 8th.
Oh, yeah, and, I was there.
Yeah, remember it was happened so fast, we got like a notice that everybody come in your car, and then we had like a caravan pass by his house, and his wife, it was kind of a secret, and his wife like told him to go outside. I remember it being a chilly day, but anyway, he got propped up out there, and all the cars passed by wishing him, you know, a happy birthday. And he was so happy and so surprised by all the cars and the well wishes, and people had signs and flags out of their cars, and we were passing by waving to him.
Yeah, I brought him some sage too.
Yeah.
You can imagine that bolstered him for just a little bit longer,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't talk and shouldn't probably talk a lot about this on the air, but I know he did a lot of ceremonies, because even 5 years ago, he had cancer. So he's lasted a long time through that whole process, Wendy. And we know when we first had him on the show, he wasn't doing that well. And then the next time we saw him, he was like a different person. It was crazy. Yeah. It was like he was doing really good.
And he lived a
great life. Well, if you remember when we had that rally against mascots outside in November, it was cold. Yeah. And he was there. He was bundled up, but he was there, and he wasn't going to miss it. Somebody just posted he got the Washington NFL team to change their names. And you know, I'm carrying legislation here in Minnesota that would not allow like high schoolers or schools to carry mascot Indian names too. And that all comes, you know, from the work that stems from the work that he has done. But he never let the cold or, you know, there's very little that got between him and his people.
Well, it's not only the work, but I think it's like the base. I couldn't say United Nations, so I should watch what I'm saying here. But, you know, he gave us a platform, and now we really have to step it up, you know, in a lot of these things. And, you know, they've been working on that for a long time, and we've been in many protests. Mary, you want to stay with us for another segment? We'd love to see what's coming up with legislation, because we know that's coming up very soon.
It is.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back with Mary, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
Yep.
Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult.
Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hi, everybody. I'm Santita Jackson, and I want you and all your friends to join my new show, The Santita Jackson Show, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we got our wood stove to lower our carbon footprint and to harvest our own renewable energy. We discovered more. Fire offers both stillness and engagement. It connects us to the basic and often overlooked moments that enrich our lives. It opens the mind to music, reading, and being with those you love. We gather our friends, our family, and our minds around the fire.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, it is our job to find a place for fire that works in your life. We have a diverse selection of fireplace products. Clean wood burning, convenient gas burning, and easy to install electric stoves and fireplaces for inside your home or outdoors too.
Fire does more than offer comfort from the cold. Fire warms the heart. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, there are so many ways to discover your place for fire. With over 35 working indoor and outdoor fireplaces on display at the corner of East Franklin Avenue and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Ever since my grandfather founded Standard over 90 years ago, word-of-mouth advertising and referrals from our customers have always been important. That's why, after serving over 500,000 customers, we're proud to have a 4.9-star average rating out of 5 on our online reviews. Check them out for yourself and find out more at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning wants you to keep that frosty air outside while keeping warm inside. Right now, you can save up to $1,000 on any new high-efficiency furnace. Then keep your AC and furnace running safely and efficiently by enrolling in Standard Heating's Smart Club Maintenance Program. Unlike a traditional repair plan, your maintenance plan from Standard Heating helps identify and prevent potential problems before they occur. So stay warm and toasty this season by saving up to $1,000 on any new high-efficiency furnace, and then have peace of mind protecting your equipment when you enroll in Standard Heating's Smart Club Maintenance Program. More at standardheating.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 1 below 0, then sunny on Saturday with a high of 15. Did you know winter is the best time to get that big home improvement project done? Demand is lower, so labor is much lower too. Get started with Snap Construction today. Call 612-333-SNAP or visit snapconstruction.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Nation. Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, before we get back to State Senator Mary Kunish, I just want to let people know right now the wake's happening up at White Earth, the community center, and tomorrow at 11 a.m., the funeral will be happening there, and all COVID safety protocols and masks are required. And I noticed last night, too, everyone was wearing a mask when we went to the wake.
That's great.
Yeah. Hey, State Senator Mary Kunish Podine, welcome. We were just reminiscing a lot about Clyde Belcourt and what he means and meant and his legacy to the community. But now let's fast forward here to 2022, and now your legacy is going to be coming up, and there's going to be a lot of work happening soon. Isn't that in a couple days that the government's opening up again?
Our session begins on the 31st of this month, So January 31st will be the first day of our session. We could have a special session, like a one-day special session to get some things passed, some really urgent things passed. We'll see if that's going to happen before the 31st. But yep, we're coming up. There's lots of legislators that have already started their annual session. And then, of course, every state's legislature works a little bit differently. So some will have a live in-person passing policy and procedure and funding. And then the next year, they don't meet, but they're working within their committees for the year. And then they come back and pass it. So this year, or in Minnesota, we always meet every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. I don't know. It used to be different years ago, wasn't it, when we were younger? I can't remember. But
I don't think so. I think it's always sort of been like this. And we work on a biennium. So mm-hmm. 1 year, like this year is the bonding year where we really focus on the infrastructure and funding all those important things like college, our state colleges and universities, buildings and infrastructure that the state government owns, transportation, individual projects within cities and municipalities, like around water and those sort of things. So Minnesota is very fortunate to have a huge surplus this year, partly due to mm-hmm. the funds that we received from the federal government. And so while you always wish for more, this year we have more, and it just means that there will be more requests for those extra dollars and a lot more decision making, and could be a little more feuding going on between folks on how that money's going to be spent.
What do you see you champion yourself on? I know you're a former teacher. I know you've done well for our Native community. What's on the front burner for you and the other BIPOC legislators?
Well, we still are dealing with public safety issues. This the last 6 months or so have been really atrocious here in the Twin Cities with carjacking. And it's not like they're taking the cars and stripping them and selling parts or, trying to sell a hot car. It's more of a, I don't want to say a prank, because, there are people that have been held up at gunpoint. A young man that I know very well, it happened to him right outside of his house. And he was able to track the car just to the other side of the Twin Cities where they left it. So it's maybe not a prank. I don't know if it's a gang thing, but that is one issue. I know that there was effort by our Republicans to really, really crack down on that and issue some really hardcore repercussions because of that. So I think we'll be looking at things like that. We do still have environmental issues, still like around Line 3 and other things that are going on here in Minnesota. So we'll probably hear about that. There's a threat to a woman's reproductive choice, yeah. Specifically outlawing abortions. So we will be working on making sure that women have that right, that human right to choose when and where they they have children. So we'll be working on that. Minnesota does not have the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment statement in our Constitution. And I carried that when I was in the House, passed it in the House, but they wouldn't pass it in the Senate. So we'll go back and look at that. And then we have that wonderful Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office that's being established. And it could be that there will be some legislation to support that, especially like the ability to share data, collect data. And then I have a piece of legislation to create a pool of money for reward just to sort of tease out some of that money. And I know today I received an email from the woman who kind of inspired that that legislation. She's from Duluth, and they established a reward option up in Duluth. And I'm trying to think, it's called, I don't speak Ojibwe, but I think it's like Gagigi Mika Mikwedagoziguag. I'm sorry, I messed that up terribly, but it means they will be remembered forever. And that is a reward fund that was established, officially established up in Duluth. The Duluth City Council passed a resolution authorizing a memorandum of understanding with Native Lives Matter Coalition. And then that was supported by Mending the Sacred Hoop as their fiscal agent. Mm-hmm. And so that has sort of been my inspiration to carry that piece of legislation within our state government to create a fund similar to that, that, you know, so often when there's these kind of incidences of violence in our community, somebody knows something, or somebody might know a little piece here, somebody else a little piece there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, a little reward will help put those pieces together. And so that's what we are hoping to do. You know, those are the things. Education, of course. Right. I have carried the people of color and increasing teachers of color and indigenous here in Minnesota. It's a huge comprehensive package of legislation. We've been able to do bits and pieces again of that here in Minnesota, but we'd love to get the whole package, from recruiting to supporting students to helping with finances, especially when they're student teaching, to supporting them in those first 5 years of being an educator, because we know how hard those first 5 years are. And that's most likely when teachers are likely to quit the profession. Mm-hmm. And so we want to have mentorship and support systems so that they will continue to work in the schools, because we really do want more and more teachers of color that reflect our population in our schools.
Yeah, you know, one of the things too that's just come up on our show, and we had Winona on who talked about you know, Clyde on Monday. And one of the things that's coming up now again, and I know you're a water protector, is with Tesla wanting to really cut down a lot of trees up north and start mining, what is it, nickel out of there. And so we need to really take a good look at that too, along with our water, because, oh my gosh, what's next at our sacred areas? You know, this isn't in the cities, you know, in the urban area. This is in tribal land, just like Line 3 was, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, there will always be something. And, you know, it's interesting when you start to think about it. When the government took the land from our ancestors, they shoved them all into places, into lands that seemed barren or had little or no value, no access to, blah, blah, blah. And turns out those are often, you know, the areas that have deep mineral or now have value to them. And right. So, of course, now they want access to those lands again. And, you know, they will find every way to get in there that they possibly can. And I just hope that our tribes, especially tribes that are suffering in so many ways financially, do not succumb to the you know, the promise of money and gold and, you know, blah, blah, blah at the end of the day, because I think we all have seen it here in Minnesota, especially around Enbridge. That's only for a short time, and then it goes away, and then you're still left with what you had before. So,
right. Blankets and glass beads. Do not take those. Do not take those. We will fight with you down here in the cities and all over Turtle Island to keep the water clean and keep our Mother Earth pristine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't manage our forests. I'm actually the lead for our Democrat, in the Senate for Democrats on mining and forestry. And I recognize, you know, we do need to manage our wooded areas and get out some of those, remove some of the old growth and make room for new growth. I mean, our ancestors used to burn, you know, the lands to, yep, to keep it clear and keep it healthy. And there's a lot of vegetation that has to, the only, will only, you know, reproduce or bloom after a good burn. And so we have to go back to that mindset of an indigenous management of our lands, because only then are we going to be able to manage them in a good way.
Absolutely.
For those next seven generations.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Nina says, rent is due. We need to resist this and you know, keep our eyes peeled on what's happening on to Mother Earth. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, for everything. And thank you so much, Pini Gigi, for stopping by as you do and bringing your truth. It's always fun.
I'm so happy to be here, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
You too. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Bonjour, relatives. My name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian Country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Niigwech Bizindawien.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey.
Howl!
Oh, I just hit a solo there. Wendy, I'm going to let you take the rest of the show. Wendy said I sound pretty sleepy, so I'm going to be sleeping the rest of the show.
Don't sleep.
All right. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she discusses and talks about our relatives. This is our native animal section.
Thanks, Robert. Jeez. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And as everyone knows, I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that name. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And today's Friday, and Friday is a kind of an easy day where I kind of find fun facts and bring them to you. So I have a good article here. It's from the Animal Medical Clinic. It didn't say where it's from, but these are fun facts about our pets. And one of them that I found really interesting was there's a dog. It's called a Basenji. If that's a brown dog, Ogama, I think you have a picture of it. It's an African wolf dog, and it does not bark. In a normal way.
I want that dog.
Yeah, it doesn't bark in a normal way. If you're watching us on Facebook, we have a picture of him. He's kind of cute. But he yodels or screams when he's excited. And I actually have a recording of the sound of the dog. So hold on. I'm just going to have to bring this up here.
This technology here, we got to get a toilet roll there for you.
But you're going to hear the sound.
Okay.
So that's the sound of a...
You just freaked out our dog. She's wondering what's going on.
It's a Basenji...
Oh, wow.
That's a Basenji wolf dog, and it's from Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't he? And he's really cute. He's very cute. I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny because I thought the name of the dog, Basenji, is a good name for a dog anyway. I don't know. But anyway, 94% of pet owners say their animal pal makes them smile more than once a day, right? I could definitely say that. Could you say that, Robert?
Matthew McNeil said that. Hey, Matt, I hope you're feeling better. Matt has COVID and he's at home. Good to see you. My neighbor had one. They are adorable.
Yeah, they are adorable. He's really, really a cute little dog. I'd really have to look up more information about how big they get and their traits. But the American Veterinary Dental Society states that 80% of dogs and 70% of cats show signs of oral disease by age 3. That's pretty young. I know Wanda has gotten her teeth cleaned, and Gracie's gotten her teeth pulled out. So
they're clean.
They are clean.
Well, they're gone.
Here's some fun cat facts. I could hear our cat on the other side of the door.
Cats, good thing that cat doesn't have thumbs. And she'll some be of opening this, the door.
Yeah,
all
some
the
of
time.
This, some of these facts we may have talked about in the past, but it's always a good reminder that cats have 32 muscles in each ear. That's crazy. Yep. And cats have 4 rows of whiskers. Cats have no collarbone, which is one reason they are so flexible. Cats spend approximately 30% of their waking hours grooming themselves. I think when they get older, they stop doing that. And then you kind of have to help them. They get all kind of...
You're like the mother. You're always licking on them. And
I don't lick the cat.
You know what I mean. Licking your thumb and cleaning them. And
wiping her face. Yeah. American short hair is the designation reserved for a pedigree cat, while similar looking cats of mixed or unknown origin are called domestic short hairs. Lucy, our cat Lucy, is a domestic long hair because she's a long haired cat and she has no, she's not a pedigree cat.
She has no filter either. She's yelling at us all the time.
I know. Feline jaws cannot move sideways. They don't go sideways. They just go up and down. Cats. Oh, listen to this one. You'll appreciate this one, Robert. Cats have over 100 vocal sounds. We could attest to that for sure. While dogs have about 10.
We talked to my sister Mary, and she watched the animals. And remember, we didn't warn her about... Lucy.
So in the middle, 100 right, sounds. So in the middle of the night, sometimes Lucy just goes.
She sees spirits,
and we have been told by a Native American medicine man that we have an old woman that lives here, a spirit, and she doesn't mean us any harm. But I'm telling you, Lucy sees her sometimes, because I see Lucy at the bottom of the stairs and looking, and then her eyes are going down the stairs and there's nobody there.
Well, and she's,
it happens,
I like,
all the time.
I see it too, and her eyes pop wide open, and then she runs.
And then she runs, and then she makes really weird cat, like, meowing sounds.
And then we used to have a cat that gave us, brought up socks from the basement.
Mm-hmm. Princess, she used to go downstairs and hunt.
Yeah.
She would find, like, all these little things or little trinkets. Like, you had, like, a little Ziploc bag of like a couple of screws in there, and she found it and she carried it up and she'd bring it.
And how she'd be making noises as she'd bring it up, and she'd be giving us presents. And then when we had her daughter staying here, you know, for a transition, and she was going, you know, why is my dad leaving socks in the kitchen?
Right. She didn't realize that the cat was bringing all the socks in the kitchen and dropping off. I mean, sometimes she'd go in the laundry basket and pick out like six socks. One at a time.
I wanted to train her to bring dirty socks down there so we could do the laundry,
exactly,
but she was doing the opposite.
I know. Cats' whiskers are so sensitive, they can detect the slightest change in air current. That's pretty amazing. Cats have 26 baby teeth and 30 permanent teeth. Yeah, Princess had to get some like 13 teeth pulled, and we were really surprised to hear that she had plenty more left. So, all right. Dalmatians are born without spots. They are born with plain white coats with their first spots appearing after they're about 1 week old. 1 week old. Dogs sweat through their foot pads to help keep them cool. They also keep cool by panting. Greyhounds are the world's fastest dog, with the ability to reach up to 45 miles an hour. There's a cute dog up on the screen.
Is that a Malamute?
That's kind of like a Husky, I'd say. It could be a Malamute. I don't know the specific differences between the two, but I'm sure that there
are. He's staring at me is all I know. He's in the water.
Cute. Yeah, Snoopy from Charles M. Schultz. Peanuts comic strip, as everybody knows, was a beagle, but that is here. Maybe some people didn't know. A dog's sense of smell is 1,000 times greater than a human. They really can sniff out good things.
Yeah,
and we know people, too, that medical issues have been sniffed out and saved people's lives.
We know somebody very personal to us whose dog sniffed out cancer and saved her life. So,
yeah.
9% of dog owners will have a birthday party for their pet. I thought it'd be more than 9%, but that's a lot. Nine people out of 100. That's amazing.
We used to have my mom and dad would have a high chair for our dog
used to go to Dairy Queen and get like a pupsicle, right? Or something.
No, a little nickel, little baby, what is it? Not snow cone, but
A little like
ice cream cone.
A little ice cream cone. That's so cute. Dogs have 28 baby teeth and 42 permanent teeth. That's a lot. Fleas can jump 350 times its body length. Hummingbirds are the only birds that can fly backwards. Crocodiles cannot stick their tongue out.
Wow. Hey, that doesn't have anything to do with cats, but boy, we had a whole bunch of people pop up some great trivia on our...
I love that.
I just want to end the show here real quick and give a shout out to State Senator Mary Kunish, yourself, Wendy, for everything, and Ogama for everything.
Yep.
And I just want to also say, please put some tobacco out for our Clyde and anyone who's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.